We have a constitutional right as citizens to be confronted with the witnesses against us. That gets made into our constitutional law in 1791 as part of the Bill of Rights. It gets no attention at any high level for more than 100 years. Why? Why? Because at the beginning of our federal system, we had trial courts and judges who rode a circuit. But there were no intermediate courts. There was only the trial courts who rode the circuit, and then the Supreme Court. And when the Supreme Court reviewed something that went on in a trial court, their only concern was whether the trial court had jurisdiction to do what it did. That is the only basis to go from the trial court to the Supreme Court, was to question the jurisdiction of the trial court. If Judge Roy Bean had jurisdiction, his judgment went. Okay? That meant that no question having to do with confrontation gets to the Supreme Court. It's just not part of the what they look at. And when one finally comes up, which happens when the intermediate appellate courts are actually created just around the turn of the 1900s to the 2000s, or when they established the intermediate appellate courts, all of a sudden there's an appeal. A guy convicted of murder in Texas, two eyewitnesses. He appeals on some ground irrelevant to us, and it gets reversed, sent back for new trial. By the time of the new trial, the two witnesses are dead. And when it comes to prosecute, they put in the transcript from the prior trial of their testimony. And this guy says, would you convict an American on the basis of a piece of paper? I'm entitled to live witness before this jury. And that case goes to the Supreme Court, and they say, And by that time, by the way, the whole idea of confrontation had taken on a new character, championed by Wigmore, cross-examination, the glory of the American trial, so that in the popular mind, all of a sudden, the very word confrontation no longer meant what it meant when Raleigh was using it. It meant the cross-examination of a witness. That's the confrontation of a trial. And so the Supreme Court, 1895, transforms the constitutional provision from a right of confrontation to be faced by your accusers to a right of cross-examination to confront your accusers. And it takes a while for that ruling to get incorporated and applied to the states, and bespeaks of a century of rank confusion. I mean, the doctrine is gibberish that comes out of it. And it's gibberish for a reason you can readily understand. Think about a right of cross-examination. It's got a feeling, boy, that should really be a right. How would you say the right of cross-examination is expressed in the law? What legal example could you offer where you would say, there, I see, what's being effectuated there is a right of cross-examination? Can you think of any?
Hearsay?
What did you say, Derek?
Hearsay.
Hearsay. Hearsay. Precisely. Hearsay. Hearsay is the out-of-court statement of a witness, person, offered for its truth. And when it's offered and you object to it, the substance of your objection is you're going to admit this statement without me being able to cross-examine the person that made it. So yes, hearsay is exactly the right of cross-examination. That's what the hearsay law is. It protects the right of cross-examination.